From the Word of God, Luke 17, beginning at verse 11. Then Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem. He reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. As I share with you this morning this Thanksgiving meditation, I want you for the next few minutes to go back in your mind to Passion Week. That week when Jesus came into the city and there were shouts of Hosanna. And as the week went on, clouds gathered and darkness settled over the land. And for the next few minutes, I am a Jew whose name we do not know. It has been 3 weeks since my wife touched me. It had been 3 long years since the last touch. I didn't know if I would ever feel her touch again. I don't know if I'd ever feel the touch of another human being again during those 3 long years. But then 3 weeks ago, now I'm really ahead of the story and I think you need to hear it all. 3 years ago, I was working in the field, plowing the ground, getting it ready, and plowing is hard work, back-breaking work. But my wife and I just had a little girl, had a birth in the family, a baby girl came into our home. And it wasn't just work in the field anymore, I was preparing for my family and getting things ready for the support of my family. But as I was working, I could feel my fingers getting numb. And I thought at first I must be holding the scythe too tight. But even when I put the tool down, the numbness didn't go away. And for several days, a week or more, I didn't tell my wife anything. The numbness never went away, but she must have suspected something. I carried the worst hand close to my body like a wounded bird to try to give it comfort. And one evening when I plunged my hands into the wash basin, the water turned red. I pulled my hands out and my fingers were bleeding. And I hadn't held a sharp instrument all day long. I hadn't had a knife or anything. I didn't realize that I'd hurt myself or cut myself. And my wife looked at me and said, "It's on your clothing as well." And I looked down and my robe had crimson spots in different places. And I stood there for the longest time not looking at my wife because I knew my life would never be the same again. "Shall I go with you?" she asked. "Go where?" "Why, to see the priest." "No," I said, I'll go alone." The priest wouldn't touch me. He looked at my hands. He looked at my face and saw the pain and the worry and the sorrow. And I couldn't blame him. He was only doing his job. He was only doing what he had been taught by Scripture to do. He covered his mouth and extended his hand and said, "You are unclean." And with those words, I lost my family, my farm, my future, my friends, my life. My wife met me at the city gates with a bundle of clothing and bread and coins, and she couldn't speak. And some of our friends gathered and they stood off at a distance. And in their eyes, I could see what I would see over the next 3 years, fear and pity and maybe thanksgiving that leprosy had not happened to them. They stepped back and I turned away. Over the last 3 years, my hands gnarled from the disease. The tips of my fingers literally fell off, as did parts of my ears and the tip of my nose. I carried a bell, and if other people approached me, I'd ring the bell and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so they knew not to get close to me. Fathers would grab their children, mothers would cover their faces. My clothing became rags that barely covered the sores all over my body. And I kept asking myself, what have I done to deserve this? What did I do? And some people said it was my fault that I had sinned. Other people said it was my parents' fault. They had sinned. But what could I have done? What could my parents have done to ever require me to carry a bell and a bag and cry out, "Unclean"? I shared a cave with a Samaritan and other men. It was down in the pits where stones had been removed, where a quarry had been. And there in that cave, where I would never have considered breaking bread with anybody that was beneath me, never living with anybody that was beneath me, I was amazed at what the disease had done to us. We were equal. We were the same down there. At the bottom of the pit, we were all equal in a very strange way. Each of us missed our families. Each of us missed what our lives had been. Each of us prayed and at the same time cursed God. We lost hope. We buried our dead. Each of us saw the future and welcomed death. Then 3 weeks ago, several of us had left the pit, going out begging, ringing our bells. And we were in a village between Samaria and Galilee. And as we were ringing our bells and begging for food or coins, one of us, I don't know who it was, cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us!" I didn't know who he was yelling to until I saw him. I'd heard of this man, Jesus, but this was the first time I'd ever seen him. He looked so ordinary, except for his eyes. I'd never seen eyes like that in any human being. There was no pity in his eyes. There was no fear in his eyes. There was something in his eyes that gave just a spark of hope. Although I didn't know why I should help, because for 3 years there hadn't been any. He didn't touch us. He didn't give us anything. But he told us to go to the priest and show ourselves to the priest. And as I walked, my fingers straightened out. And the tips of my fingers were whole again. And my ear, where part had dropped off, was whole. And my nose was whole again. I was whole. I wore the clothes of a leper, but I was whole. And we went to the priest and he examined us and he told us what I already knew. Then the priest ordered two clean birds and cedar wood and crimson yarn and hyssop be brought for each of us. He slaughtered one of the birds over fresh water. He took the living bird and the cedar wood and the crimson yarn and hyssop and dipped them in the blood of the slaughtered bird and sprinkled each of us seven times. Then he let the living bird go and pronounced us clean. And each of us were ordered to shave our hair and burn our clothes and bathe. And you've never seen such splashing and such joy. There was such an urgency. We each wanted to go home. Home. Where would my home be? Where was my wife and my daughter? I went first to the home of my in-laws and asked where my wife was. Had she remarried? They couldn't believe what they saw. And they told me my wife had not remarried. She was at the market and would return home soon. And I waited what seemed like forever until I saw her coming with our little girl, now 3 years old. And I'd barely seen it all during the last 3 years. And you can never imagine what that embrace was like as I hugged both of them, gathered our little girl up in my arms, and squeezed her between my wife and myself. And you can never understand how the touch of another human being after so long meant. And how it can restore your very being. I stood in the street and I hugged and hugged and cried and cried. And in the days that followed, my wife and I made plans. I had a life to live and a reason to rejoice. And just the other night, my wife reminded me that Passover was near and we needed to go to Jerusalem. I'd lost all time, all concept of time in the pits. Passover. How many times have I been to the temple to give thanks in days past, but this year would be so special. What a day of Thanksgiving it would be. As we entered the city on the day before Passover, I heard someone calling my name. I turned and it was my Samaritan friend. I didn't hesitate for a moment to introduce my wife and my child and then to hug him and ask how he was. And we embraced one another. We looked so different. We looked so normal. And I asked him, "Have you found your family?" And he said, "Oh yes," as his eyes filled with tears. He wasn't Jewish, so what was he doing coming to Passover? I felt foolish when I asked, "What brings you to town?" He said, "Before I returned home from the pit that day, I had to find that man Jesus and tell him thank you. I found him that day and thanked him, but it seemed such a small thing to do. I want to tell him again. And I caught sight of some of the men who had been with him and asked them where I might find Jesus. And they told me he was going to Jerusalem for the Passover. Well, I couldn't have felt any smaller. I'd forgotten. I had never told this Jesus thank you. How could I have failed? I had to correct this wrong. This man gave me a new life and I hadn't even said thank you. My friend, who was not even Jewish, knew how to do it and had gone and done what was right. And I and my joy had forgotten. Well, did he come to Jerusalem? I asked. And my friend said, "Oh yes, earlier this week he came into town and people were singing praises and they were putting palm branches and their clothes in the road and for him to ride in on a small animal, and they were shouting and giving God praise. And then on Tuesday he was in the temple and he was teaching everybody that would come close, and the Pharisees and the scribes and the high priest and all were around and they were asking him questions, and he turned the questions back and answered them so easily so frustrated. And I turned to my wife and I said, I must go to the temple now. She understood. I must find this man and thank him. How could I have forgotten? I had such difficulty trying to reach the temple. The streets were crowded. There was yelling coming from the palace where Pilate lived. I wondered what in the world's going on at the palace. But I pushed through the crowds to the temple. And finally, hot and sweaty, I managed to get inside the walls there. And the first person I asked, I said, where is this teacher? Where is this man Jesus? And the man looked at me with a strange look and he said, haven't you heard? He was arrested and is being tried by Pilate. For what? I asked. What could that man have done to be tried by Pilate? And he said, oh, he kept claiming that the temple would be destroyed and he would rebuild it in 3 days and on and on and on. Well, I hurried as quickly as I could, as fast as I could towards the palace. The crowds got even worse. There was some kind of parade or procession going on and the streets were blocked. And when I finally got to the palace, it was all but empty, just like the temple had been. There was a Roman centurion standing there and I asked him, where's Jesus? And he looked at me like I was a criminal. Why do you ask? Are you one of his followers? Well, no, but you see, I have to thank him. Well, you're too late. They've taken him and some others outside the gate to the skull, the place of the skull. What's the place of the skull? The rock outside where we crucify criminals. Crucify? It took like what seemed forever to get out of the palace and on the streets again. People were going about their businesses as if nothing was going on. How could this be? They're going to crucify Jesus. As I left the gates, the sky was turning black. But in the distance, I could see a hill and I could see three crosses. And I ran as fast as my legs would carry me. The sky flashed with a clap of thunder just as I neared the crosses. There were some women standing around one of the crosses and one centurion standing at the foot of that cross. And there's a man hanging on it. And I looked up and there's a sign over his head that says, King of the Jews. It was the same man. It was a man who had healed me, and he was dead. I stood there for the longest time. I didn't see any of the men who were with him that day, just 3 weeks ago. And tonight I kept asking myself, how could I have failed to thank him? Even more important, how do I thank him now? How do you thank a king? If I only had one more chance. This morning we have another chance to thank him as we declare our faith together. Reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And all because of Jesus. And now the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever.